The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
Jeremy Beadle.
Terry Ryland.
Birdie Song.
People like Annika Rice.
Jeremy Beadle.
Birmingham.
Beatles Bell.
Des O'Connor.
Anything with Silla Black.
Essex. I want my MTV.
Jeremy Beadle.
Hello and welcome to Room 101, the show that allows its guests to nominate the world's worst people, places and pop songs for a place in Radio 5's Hall of Infamy. To be successful, they have merely to persuade me, Nick Hancock, that their nominations really deserve a place alongside Cresta, the Eurovision Song Contest and Seaside Shuffle by Terry Dactyl and the Dinosaurs. This week, broadcaster Annie Nightingale gives me her suggestions. Now, Annie, this is a first for us because you apparently have already been in Room 101, or the equivalent thereof, because you've been stuck in a lift with Simon Bates, haven't you?
Yeah, in the Radio 1 lift.
Is that a small lift or a large
lift? It's a very small lift.
So, stuck in a small lift with Simon Bates.
Yep.
Would you like to talk about that, Annie?
Well, it's quite hard, but I, you know, as time's gone on, I've found it a bit easier. We need to come to terms with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were stuck together in this lift, and after about 10 minutes, basically panicked. You know, I don't wish to speak ill of a fellow broadcaster, but he did panic. We were then ultimately released by a BBC fireman, and jolly good for him, at which point Simon Bates found it necessary to rush straight into Steve Wright's studio and tell him of this extraordinary event that had happened to him, and it also appeared in The Sun the next day, which is a huge surprise how they got to hear about it. Goodness only knows.
Who knows?
And they said DJ Simon comforted DJ Annie. Now, it actually was the other way around.
I don't think there'd be any comforting for you, would there, really, what with Simon being in there?
I was just afraid of running out of cigarettes, I think.
Well, there you go. There's a flavour. But now, one of your first choices, a little bit of music for you. Is that James Brown?
Not really.
No.
The music from a soap, which I thought was Neighbours, but actually it's EastEnders, and that is Anita Dobson, who used to be in it. I have to say, I have never seen a whole episode of EastEnders, Neighbours, Young Doctors,
Coronation Street.
Well, that's different.
Good. That counts as proper grown-up drama.
Yes, quite. But then I couldn't understand why this record suddenly appeared, and it was because it was obviously the theme music to EastEnders, and Anita Dobson was a very big starring role at the time in it.
And what they did was they tacked some words onto the theme music.
That's right, yes.
It should be quite a good precedent, actually. You could get other programmes. Maybe you could get Nicholas Witchell singing some lyrics to the news theme or something like that.
Excellent idea.
It's quite a good idea.
Why has it happened?
I don't know. Or Jimmy Hill singing something to match of the day. That'd be excellent.
Yeah.
Now, Anita Dobson there claiming that anyone can fall in love, but presumably not anyone can sing properly, as proved by this song.
I think so, yeah. And it's just, you know, I get very bewildered every Sunday afternoon before I do my program on Radio 1. I go and look at the charts, right, before anyone else gets to see them, which is quite good fun.
Yes.
And then you get these sort of records, you think, who's Anita Dobson and what is this? Where has this suddenly appeared from? Because if you don't watch these programs, you don't actually know. It's like people always writing and saying, oh, can you play the advert for the Carling Black Label commercial? And yeah. I haven't seen it, so I don't know what they're on about.
And I remember there being a whole spate from EastEnders, because Nick Berry had a song, I remember that. And there was this one by Anita Dobson, and then the boat played Pete Beale, did a World Cup song. All I Want for Christmas is a Ticket for the World Cup, which I think was the worst song ever, 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 but you perhaps haven't heard that one.
Oh,
also, the man who wrote the music to this, Simon May, he wrote the music for Howard's Way, I think you've heard.
Howard's, don't talk to me about Howard.
Howard's Way!
Don't you
now,
speak about
that must be
Way.
A slice of your own life, living on the South Coast. It must be like that all round where you are.
No.
You've got your own marina, incidentally.
Well, yes, not mine personally. I don't talk to me about Howard's Way. Howard's Way used to go out on Sunday evening.
Indeed.
Against my little radio show. And to start with, everyone said, oh, don't worry, it's no competition, it's crap. And then it became a complete cult, because it was so bad, everyone said, did you see it? Whoa, look! You know, wooden acting, all that sort of stuff. And it became a huge success, so don't talk to me about Howard's Way.
Oh, dear.
Well, no, it's a sore point,
oh,
there.
Oh, dear. Well, I don't think that we're going to let this song go into Room 101 because Anita Dobson's already suffered a fate worse than being in Room 101, which is being in EastEnders for 6 years, something you wouldn't really wish on anyone apart from Leslie Grantham, perhaps. So I'm not going to allow that one, and I hope you'll accept that, Annie. I don't want to upset you.
Well, we'll have to see how we get on with the others.
Well, we will.
Yeah.
And we've got some more music for you now. Battle of the Hell, the record that's in everyone's record collection, alongside Rumours by Fleetwood Mac and Tubular Bells. Is that right?
Well, yes. Now, this is the whole point. This is what I want to know. Because when that record came out by Meatloaf, it was in the album charts for something like 253 weeks consecutively. Now, it wasn't getting massive sort of airplay, or it wasn't on the telly, and it wasn't on a lager commercial. And the theory was that it was people going around to other people's houses, and they'd put it on their stereo, and the person who'd gone around to that person said, "Wow, I must rush out and buy this." Now, what kind of people are they?
Well, they're people who are waiting for the Smiths to come along, aren't they? That's what was happening. There was nothing happening at all. They were sad, terrible, depressed people.
You know, like, we're talking about 4 years in the charts, and, you know, all these people individually going round to each other's houses and playing them that record.
Mm. They probably like the cover as well, didn't they? Which is drawn by a 12-year-old boy who hates maths. It's, what is it? Let me get this right. And this is purely from memory. I think it's a motorbike doing a wheelie over the top of a gravestone. Is that right?
I can hardly remember.
It's something
like
that.
I don't go round to these people's houses who've got this record, so I don't know.
Oh, you've got a copy and you know you have.
Well, it's probably somewhere around, yeah.
Mm.
But not played to death, I can assure you.
Mm. Well, I have to forgive Meatloaf for releasing this, because with a name like Meatloaf, you have to release a record, don't you? I mean, you're not going to get a job in a bank, are you, if you're called Meatloaf? That's why I always forgive anybody like Madonna or Fish or Bono for being musicians, because they hadn't really got any choice, had they?
Or a name like that?
No. You're not going to go into a harvester and they're going to say, "Have you ever been to a harvester before? The waiter on your table tonight will be Meatloaf." They're just not going to get a job there. No, not going in, I'm afraid, and you're not doing very well
at all. No, right.
But we'll give you a chance to really fight your corner on your most hated place.
Ah!
Oh, you look confident already.
Well, I'm very new. Listen, you were not going to defeat me on this one. Boreham Wood High Street, Elstree. Been there?
Nope.
Right. If you ever have to go to Elstree, which many people who work for the British Broadcasting Corporation do...
Is it a form of punishment, or is it the studio there?
Yes, the studio's there as well. Right. But you see, the form of punishment. And you get off the train at Elstree, and then you have to walk over a footbridge, which is steep, and it's always raining, and then you come out into Boreham Wood High Street. The road's permanently being dug up. You cannot actually... There's probably water mains burst, and there's inevitably something unpleasant has happened, so you can't actually walk along the pavement easily. And when you do, you find it is all video shops and funeral services, which leads me to believe that people who live in Boreham would just rent out videos and die.
Yeah.
That is all that is to do.
I'm willing to believe that.
Good.
But I find that lots of areas like that, they always only have two sorts of shop. Where I live, Forest Hill, they only have hairdressers and florists.
Mm.
No other shops.
Mm.
Well, there you go. I'm willing to believe that about Boreham Wood High Street. I've never been there, and if anybody from Boreham Wood High Street's listening, bad luck. Okay, so let's open up the door to Room 101 and put Boreham Wood High Street in there and hear what else can we hear that's in there.
We hand this woman, Margaret Thatcher, over to the devil.
Ian Paisley, certainly.
Mm.
And the music?
I was too busy listening to him.
It was Mississippi by Pussycat.
Oh, right.
So one hit.
No, I've wiped that from my memory.
Lucky old you,
yeah.
I say.
Yeah, I remember it, but I've wiped the sound of it from my mind.
Okay, well, I've got some more music for you now. Another one of your least favourite tunes.
The car, she was sad and so afraid that I'd be mad, but what the heck, though I pretended hard to be, guess you could say she saw through me and hugged my neck. I came home unexpectedly and caught her crying needlessly in the middle of the day. And it was in the early spring when flowers bloom and robins sing, she went away.
It's an early Shum 69 song, wasn't it?
Well, it should be pointed out that when she went away, she didn't, like, go off with another bloke or anything.
Oh, no, she croaked it, didn't she?
She croaked it.
But, I mean, I think the inference of the whole song is that if she hadn't died, she'd have left him, because he is a bit of a git.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. No, I mean, when he came home in the middle of the day, you see, you think, oh, he's going to find her with somebody else.
That's right.
Well, that's probably where she went wrong, you see.
Well, you say that he's going to find her somewhere else. There is a line later on, and I surprised her with a poppy. But that is extremely dubious.
Bestiality.
What is going on there, then? And the sister has a great line. She was kind of dumb and kind of smart. Nice.
Well, maybe it was suicide. But the thing is, anyway, that is called Honey by Bobby Gosford. Now, interestingly enough, Nick, you will not believe this. Last night I went to see My Bloody Valentine, who were wonderful. What do they use for the play-out music? You know, okay, folks, get out. Honey by Bobby Gosford. And I haven't heard it for years. I bet
you haven't seen the theatre cleared that quickly for years, are
you? So, you know, somebody else is onto this.
No, yeah. It is a truly, truly awful song. And there's a place for songs like that, but I don't think it's Room 101. It's,
what,
it's,
Room 106?
Well, it's Nashville, isn't it? So
yeah.
I think we just send it back there and they should keep it. Have you ever been to Nashville?
Yes, I have.
Have you? Is it good?
It's extraordinary. I met Barbara Mandrell.
Yeah.
Do you know who she is?
She's
in the Mandrell Sisters, and then she went solo and I interviewed her, and somebody told me that she'd recently remarried her husband. So I assumed, as you would, that they'd, you know, split up and got back together.
Mm.
But no. He was a helicopter pilot, had been for President Carter, and she said, no, we dedicated, and we had the ceremony, had a preacher around, and I wore my original gown because my husband put on a few pounds, and he couldn't wear what he would have originally married in. And the kids were there, and he had champagne. It was just wonderful. It was rededication. I said, rededication? What is this? A kind of Nashville custom? She said, no, I saw it on the Waltons. I thought it was so cute.
That's brilliant. It's just a way of getting more presents, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought that was just very touching.
Well, it might catch on in this country, and then you can have a Sunday evening rededication show. I thank you!
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right, your most hated book.
Oh, anything by John Fells. I Want to Kill Him.
Any particular reason?
You ever read any of his books?
No, thankfully. Well, obviously, I did The French Lieutenant's Woman for O-Level, which is a classic reason to not read a book.
Oh.
I never read it.
Well, I mean, if you take the most recent one I've read, A Maggot. Now, you explain to me, Nick, why that bloke had a bunch of violets in his mouth.
Can't do it.
Never explain. I nearly went berserk. I mean, he does this to you every time. He gets you involved, drags you into this book, and you go, yeah, don't read it. You totally involved, and then, bosh, end, finish, nothing explained. And I just want to kill him.
You shouldn't really become a novelist if you're not good at endings, should you?
These novelists should be brought to trial or something, you know, putting people through hell.
Into writing classes with David Lynch, that's what's been happening.
Mm. Mm.
Well, I'm afraid that doesn't get into Room 101 either, because there is only one book in Room 101, and that's Sided with Rosie by Laurie Lee. Okay, more music.
Hello, I'm Giuseppe. I got something special for you. Ready? Uno, due, tre, quattro. When I was a boy, just about the eighth grade, Mama used to say, don't stay out the late with the better boys. Always shoot a fool, Giuseppe, going to flunk a school. And the mama used to say all the time, what's the matter, you? Hey, God, no respect. What do you think you do?
Yeah, Giuseppe going to flunk a school because Giuseppe a thick as shit. Why?
Who bought that one? That's what
I'm asking. Lots of people. It was number one, wasn't it?
Well, this is my... I'm actually nominating this, not on my own behalf, but on behalf of Midyear.
Was he number two?
It kept Vienna off number one. Now, Vienna became somewhat of a classic of its time, and everyone thought it was number one. It never was because of that. So, poor old Midge, I always thought, well, if I ever get the chance of...
And the other Ultravox boys.
And the Ultravox, but I think it upset Midge terribly, terribly deeply.
It's going to be upsetting, isn't it? If you put a lot of work into a song and you're a serious artist and you get kept off number one by Giuseppe Dolci, Joe to his mate.
Yeah. Oh, so it's really for Midge, not so much for me personally, you know, being a generous guy.
Okay, well, I was going to let that one in, but now you've said it's for Midge, I couldn't possibly, because that's the saddest thing you could have said. I'm not going to allow that.
Oh,
do you think I should?
Yeah, go on.
Go on, then. Yeah, we can't have Joe Dolci out and about in the streets.
16 minutes past 7. If you've just awoke, welcome indeed.
Recognise the music, recognise the man. They're not linked, except that they're both in room 101.
No, I haven't a clue.
Well, that's right up there with your hello, I'm afraid, because that was Noel Edmonds, the man.
Well, it's been a while since he's been on the radio, isn't it?
Not long enough ago for me. And the music was from Starsky and Hutch. Classic Keach show, I think.
Yeah.
Any good stories about Noel Edmonds? No, I think not.
No.
Okay, now, most hated film. And that, of course, was the music from Raising the Titanic.
Yes, so apt.
Well, it could have been, couldn't it?
Yeah, that was indeed, of course, The Doors. I'm nothing against The Doors at all. Love it, music. But that movie, what was it about? It should have just been called Jim Morrison. I mean, the people who played the other members of The Doors were like cardboard cutouts who were just sort of left as one-dimensional characters.
That's right. And I mean, no, I don't Doors would have had a member of the FBI playing the keyboards for them, would they, like they had in the films.
Ridiculous. And also, I kept thinking, this isn't Jim Morrison, this is an actor. And, you know, I just thought it was pointless.
You can't enjoy many films on that level, really, can you?
Well, thinking it's an actor.
They tend to have actors in. It's desperately disappointing.
Yeah, not real people. Yeah. Shame that.
And what about Raising the Titanic?
Well, that has got to be the worst film ever made. I saw it in New York. Now, there are lots of things to do in New York. Lots of things.
Raising the Titanic, not being top
Raising
of
Raising the Titanic is the worst possible thing you could do anywhere. And when you're only there for 3 days and you've just arrived and someone has a bright idea of saying, well, let's go and see Raise the Titanic, what a criminal waste of time. And it was so obviously a model in a tank all the way through. Again, you see, so I was not convinced.
You see, you just don't enjoy any of the visual art, do you?
Let's face
it. But you see, I went to see it, and it had actors in it. And I couldn't believe it. They didn't build an enormous steel ship and sink it properly with a real iceberg.
No.
I mean, who were they trying to kid?
Well, exactly. That's what I thought. Exactly my feelings.
No, I think...
I truly was appalling. I mean, that's... You've got to allow that. I mean...
Well,
I bet you'll never meet anyone else who's ever seen it.
No.
It's probably never even been on television.
It's so bad it's never been on television. Bet. Oh, well, then it has to go in. Mm. I think that's only fair.
I could be lying.
Fair.
All these demonstrations prove that there are a lot of very sincere people who are very concerned about world peace.
Am I supposed to know who that was?
You might know who it is. You should know the music. Mind you tell you don't watch much television. No. There's so many actors on.
Yes.
That was the music from the Waltons.
Oh, well, there you go.
We've had it all tied together beautifully, isn't it?
John Boy,
that's right.
Yeah.
And the man is Cecil Parkinson.
It.
Yes, lovely Super Cecil.
You can spot that sincerity.
Okay, most hated object.
Well, the only problem is I can't say it. I could write it down and you could say
it. All right, you write it down, I'll say it.
I'll write it down here. It's not so much the object, it's the way in which it's pronounced and spelt in the United States.
Pantyhose. This woman has a genuine antipathy to this word. Tell me.
Well, look at the way it's spelled. P-A-N-T-I.
Yeah.
Hyphen H-O-S-E.
Yeah.
I do not spend my time hopping over to New York. Believe me, very, very rarely. But I was trying to buy some tights there, right? And up and down Fifth Avenue saying, excuse me, got any tights now? That's funny. You know, all those girls wear tights. And eventually I ended up in some sort of porn type clothes shop, you know.
Hmm.
In desperation. I do too, of course. I'm sure you do this all the time, isn't it?
Naturally.
And I said, you got any time there? And she went, oh, you mean, as you said the word.
That word. Pantyhose.
And I just went,
this is nodding going
on. Yeah, tightly. Just can't bear it.
I can understand that. That is a horrible phrase. How would you put, sort of, like, on a balancing scale, going to New York and watching Raise the Titanic and going to New York and having to ask for pantyhose?
I think Raise the Titanic would probably be a
really
experience, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, I'm not going to let you have pantyhose in because I'm just going to keep saying it to you about pantyhose, 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 pantyhose. You can't have Raise the Titanic and pantyhose in room 101. It's an ancient statute of room 101.
You've just invented.
Just invented, yes. Okay, more music, please.
pre-Pavarotti, really, isn't it?
Yeah, pre-Pavarotti, certainly.
It's so awful, I can't even remember what it is.
Save Your Love by René and Renata.
Mm.
Mm.
Well, anything other than that.
Big volumes,
doesn't it?
I mean,
well, I don't think it needs any justification.
Well, what I would say, is it one of those songs that people hear on holiday and come back and makes it into the charts? Do you remember Ottawa? D-I-S-C-O.
Oh, yes.
D, you're adorable. I'm sorry? D, you're adorable.
D, you're... Well,
I,
door... Oh, no, this is not...
S,
this is...
super sexy. C, such a cutie.
But...
Oh!
that didn't mean adorable. It's D, you're adorable.
Originally, it was a eulogy for an early 60s British character actress, and it was D, you're Dora Bryan, wasn't
yeah.
it, originally? But they had to change it to D, you're adorable.
Yeah.
Now, Save Your Love by René and Renata can't go in.
It's already there.
Well, it should already be there.
Yeah.
But Joe Dolce's just gone in, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And we don't want to upset the pro-Italian lobbyists.
This is a point.
Really,
yeah.
Otherwise some, a little pattern's going to be emerging. People are saying, Annie Nightingale.
Yeah, anti-Italian.
Yeah. Fair enough, then.
All right, then.
Fair enough.
Give in.
Okay, most hated television programme. Ah. Oh, you...
No,
big smile.
Midnight Caller.
I don't know it, you see.
You don't know it. It's about
me.
two years ago. It was a big Saturday night BBC One, you know, major blockbusting. And it was all
like
about
Cop
this...
Rock, for instance.
Yeah. And it was about this... Well, I think they call them talk radio people. DJ, basically, but
right.
phoning guy. In, I think, in San Francisco, LA, or one of those places. He was an ex-cop. There's a huge surprise there.
Mm.
And I think he'd killed somebody, actually. So he had a bit of a chip, but he kind of understood... people's problems because he'd killed someone in some strange way.
Right.
Somehow he'd get drawn into all these calls would come in and then, you know, a huge drama would unfold.
Mm.
And somehow, before the end of his radio program, he'd kind of caught the murderer or stopped someone committing suicide. And I mean, you know, extraordinary things would happen. But the unprofessionalism of the man is what I couldn't cope with. A, he didn't use a proper microphone. It's the same thing with that as playing Misty for me.
Yeah.
I mean, he never had proper microphones.
Yeah.
Never had proper headphones.
Yeah. And that Clint Eastwood's just an actor, isn't it?
Well, just an actor.
And they didn't really kill any of the women in it.
But, well, exactly. It was completely ludicrous from beginning to end. And he left a tape running in the studio. Well, you just don't do that. And anyway, this Midnight Caller bloke, and so I kind of had a bit of a go at him on the radio, and people wrote in to me and said the reason he didn't have, you know, proper microphone headphones and all that was because it would have messed his hair up. And they, all these girls said they really liked his hair and they didn't want him to wear nasty headphones and things. So I thought, well, fair enough. But the main thing is, at the end of each programme, he would say into the microphone, "Good night, America, wherever you are." He didn't know. And this was just...
This is not
unbelievable.
Can headphones have an adverse effect on your hair?
Look at me.
Oh, yes. What had happened to Dave Lee Travis's hair? Because it looks like it's been slightly singed around the edges.
Well, perhaps if it cut, you know, to sort of...
To fit the microphones in. Perhaps
yeah.
he can always get his hair around them.
Yeah. They do mess your hair up something terrible.
That's worth thinking about. So, Midnight Caller, yes. Mm. No, I don't like the sound of that, but I'd rather have it than Cop Rock, so I'm not going to let it go in, because Cop Rock is... Have you seen Cop Rock?
No.
Awful.
I've got actors in it.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. So it's not in. More music.
My senses like night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again.
Has anybody sung this to you?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's tragic, Annie.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not had enough romance in my life.
Not really. Not when they've got something already written for them that they don't have to make up themselves.
Yeah.
They can just play it. Has anybody just played it to you?
No.
Have you ever played it to yourself?
No.
Oh. Have you ever sung it?
No.
Would you like to sing it
now?
No. I'll sing it with you. If you sing it, I'll sing it with you.
I've got the words.
Oh, we've got the words. We'll get a rehearsed reading from Annie,
yes.
of Annie's song.
Yeah,
and you can make
right.
comments. You can annotate it verbally as you go through.
Annotate.
Okay?
Okay, right.
You fill up my senses like a night in a forest.
What's that then?
Well,
that
I mean? Think fear, haven't you?
Yeah.
Night in the forest. Is that wolf? A bear has come to get me. Like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain.
Lovely.
Like walking in the rain?
Like walking in the
you
rain.
You get drenched. It's not pleasant.
No.
Your feet get all squidgy and
no. Look. So we're beginning to get a bit of a picture of this Annie that John Devon knows as being a little
bit
frightening.
Thick.
And a bit of a damp squid.
She's totally thick.
Yeah.
Storm in the desert. Well, then you get all sand in your eyes.
That'd be horrible. Sandstorm.
Sandstorm, yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. So it's sight for sore eyes then.
Yes, sleepy lagoon. Sleepy blue ocean. What is a sleepy blue ocean?
I think Robert Maxwell's the man to ask about.
You fill up my senses. Come fill me again.
That's a bit dodgy, isn't it? That's a bit dodgy. So, John Denver, is it just the lyrics? Is it because it's got your name?
It's called Annie's Song, and it's just... Yes, people have been known to write in and say, why don't you play it for yourself? And I just couldn't possibly. I couldn't.
By the same criteria, you'd have to play a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a ludicrous idea.
Yeah. Well, mind you, I've had that all my life.
Have you?
Oh, yes. People go, have you ever sung in Berkeley Square? And I used to have this absolute vision of doing it.
Yeah.
Of having thrown a huge party and getting it sponsored by some drinks company or something like that. And it would be the only time I'd be able to do it.
I like the idea of having it sponsored by a drinks company. That's obviously a good idea. And was it ever funny when anybody said that to you?
No.
I think not.
No.
So there's a tip. If you ever meet Annie Nightingale, never say, have you ever sung in Berkeley Square?
Thank
okay?
you.
And I hope that never happens to you again.
Thank you.
And then this will be worth doing this programme, won't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll let that go in then, just for your own personal brilliance. Recognise that?
Yeah, I remember it, but I can't...
It's Rolf.
Oh, it's Rolf.
It's the wonderful Rolf. He must have had quite a few hits, actually.
Well,
I'm going to look him up.
Oh, yeah, well, two little boys and...
Yeah. Rolf Harris, Time of Kangaroo Down Sport, number 9 for 13 weeks. Sun Arise. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3 for 16 weeks. Johnny Day, number 44 for 2 weeks. Never heard of it. Better Than Blue, 30 for 8 weeks. And Two Little Boys, number 1.
Mm.
Who covered Two Little Boys?
We're not playing this sort of game,
is it? Splodge is a band, isn't
it? Splodge, of course! Oh, too bad. Long and a pleasant quiz, please!
Okay, Annie, thank you very much. Now, Room 101 was presented by me, Nick Hancock, and starred guest Annie Nightingale. The series was devised by John Hussey, Simon J. Plum, and Nick Hancock. The producer was Lissa Evans.